Meeting is now being recorded.
Thank you all for joining the Root Zone LGR study group call on 18th of February 2019. We have Dennis, Edmund, Gaurav, Mirjana, and Sarmad on the call, and also Petinan. Over to you, Dennis.
Thank you, Sarmad. So let's start the conversation today with, I think we left last time, the conversation around this requirement 518 about the inclusion or not of inherited and common scripts as far as the manual review process. Again, the context is where scripts are not supported in the Root Zone LGR, and policy may decide that they want to go ahead and apply a ad hoc manual review process. And so we are giving some guidance as to limit the scope as to how they can review in terms of repertoire, varying rules, and whatnot. The intention is not to create a on-the-fly script rules on LGR for that purpose, but just as a general guidance as to how they can validate the apply for label, right? And one of the requirements that we are discussing here is that the apply for label must not mix scripts. We know there are a few exceptions, like Japanese, for example, the Japanese writing system, they combine three different scripts, even a fourth if you include Latin as well. But the question, Tom raised the question about inherited and common scripts. And as some of you know, inherited and common scripts, they don't have a particular explicit property value, but it's an implicit one, such that inherit the ones that are surround or are together with the particular coupon, and common is used in several other scripts, but not just one. So one of the principles for this ad hoc manual process is that it does not intend to create, again, on-the-fly LGR, but it's more of a application review process, and we are asking it to be very conservative. So the question arises, should we allow inherited and common scripts? I mean, should we be explicit about excluding those code points that are inherited common using several scripts and just stick to those ones that are explicitly assigned to just single script? And with that, I want to pause to hear any reactions. I think the question, let me just add this one. So I've been reading about these inherited and common scripts, and so the way Unicode defines these implicit scripts, there is a file, script extensions. I think I can show that to you. It's right here. I hope you can see the screen. Not, let me see. Let me see if I can. There you go. Okay. I hope that's big enough. So the way these script properties are defined is, for example, let me show you one that is here. For example, this line that I'm highlighting, this range of Unicode code points have only one script property, which is honey. Another block, Unicode block, has the unique script property Latin. But there are going to be other code points or range of code points. We will have multiple script extensions, such as this one, this range 102E1 through 102FB have two, can be used in this context, in Arabic script, or I think this DOPT belongs to Coptic. Yes, it's Coptic. And you have other, for example, this single code point 06D4 can be used in Arabic and row script context, and you have other things, right? And so one position is one of very conservative as to not allow such exclude from the manual revision still those code points that have multiple script properties, and just to stick to the single ones until a proper generation panel can really define the code point repertoire and potentially include some of these inherited or common code points, but not give that flexibility to the manual review process. Sarmak, I see your hand up, please.
So I was going to suggest two possible options as alternatives. One is to ask that question in the public comment process rather than make a decision and let the community respond to it. That's one option. I can't remember the second option I was thinking about. So give me a second. Let me think again about what the second option was. But that's one way we could address it. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarmat. And I think I agree. At this point, I agree with you because I don't think we, I mean, on one hand, we're saying let's be conservative. Do not pretend that this manual and also that put it clear that this application review process is in no way, shape, or form a replacement or recommendation for a future generation panel, but just an ad hoc review process. So asking the question to the community seems at this point, I think the right way. We can lay out these two opposite views, if you will, right? One of inclusion with, of course, certain criteria, right? We don't want to have inherited coupons that are meant for example, Arabic script and others to be used in Latin or whatnot, right? Just as an example. And on the other hand, we just not use them. But yeah, well, when you remember your second, okay, so I have hands up, Sarmat, and then Edmund.
Thank you. So the second option I was going to present was that we raise the bar for things which are not uniquely in a single script. So we say that in such cases, there has to be a much more clear and additional evidence which should be provided by the applicant on why it should be needed for the panel to review it, and the panel should actually review it conservatively. So explicitly call that out versus perhaps the criteria which is... So what I'm saying is that the applicant explicitly indicates which, if any, characters are inherited or common, and give more concrete reasoning on why it should be allowed. And the manual process then should look at it.
Thank you so much. Edmund? Edmund, you can go ahead. I think maybe you're on mute.
Actually, I'm hearing Edmund, but it's very faint in the background. So, Edmund, your voice is not coming in.
Yes, because I cannot hear him.
I understand the motivations to set a high bar, but I think the LGR process and the IP and GP is already sets a pretty high bar in itself. And the idea here, if I understand it correctly, is if an applicant really sees a need for a particular TLD and maybe things have changed and GP or IP hasn't had the opportunity to review it, and therefore they put in the application first, and in some ways to challenge the process, but also to expedite the process. So I think maybe, I guess correct me if I'm wrong, but it might be over-specifying here, because these particular items already, the balance, I think perhaps is already struck by the IP and process, and we just, in previous wording earlier in the document, we already specified that yes, you can stay in the process, you can't proceed, but you still gotta be compliant with the eventually abide by the IP and GP, and I think that in itself would probably set a pretty high bar. That's my thought.
So did you all get what Edmund was saying?
I did not.
Mm-hmm. I did not. Let me repeat it.
Okay.
And Edmund, please correct me if I miss something. So Edmund is saying that there's already a high bar in the manual process, so we may not want to call out an additional higher bar for such characters. And then he was suggesting that in such cases, it's just that such applications may actually not be proceeding. They may actually be just evaluated and perhaps, be in the process but do not get finally evaluated. That part I actually did not understand correctly, because I think my understanding is slightly different, which is that manually these potential applications can actually proceed. So if the high bar is based on that possibility that these will actually not proceed, then that high bar actually does not exist. In any case, Edmund, do you want to perhaps clarify that, what you are suggesting?
I think he's reconnecting.
Sure.
Yeah, and that would be a good point to clarify if that's what Edmund explained. So number five, when we discuss those applications that are not incorporated, the scripts not supported in the Rootson SGR, we are saying that the label should not proceed through the evaluation until such, and I'm highlighting that part right now, the application cannot proceed until the relevant script is integrated in the Rootson SGR. However, right, when we discussed this scenario, we also appreciated the fact that there may be a want to say need, for lack of a better word, but the policy will want to provide a alternative way to proceed and not hold a application for unlimited time until such as good disintegrated in the Luzon AGR. So we are providing guidance in the form of 5.1, what these criteria might look like. So Edmond, I see that you are back. Can we clarify whether the last part of the summer rephrase from your comment? Maybe he's typing. Yes, okay. Okay. Let's see if we can help Edmond out. Okay.
Okay, Edmund's connecting now, I think.
Okay. So going back, yes, so we define the first part, we do have a high bar, but the second part is not clear. It sounds like, if we are allowing a process, let's see, yes, Edmund?
Yeah, I think Edmund's back online.
Yeah, I'm back on, sorry.
All right, no, that's okay, Edmund. So, would you mind just summarizing maybe the two key points that you mentioned earlier?
I guess you weren't able to hear me speak earlier, is that the case?
That's correct, yeah, you were, at least on my end, of the connection, I couldn't hear you clearly.
Okay.
And it was very choppy.
Okay, no problem. So earlier I was trying to say that I'm not sure if we might be over-specifying this here, and we can probably just rely on the LGR process itself as the bar. I'd like to get a better sense of why we need to set another bar here and what it achieves. Because I think the idea for having a way for applicant to raise the issue, still doesn't, whatever the policy is set is not supposed to be able to override the LGR process itself. It just allows the applicant to freeze and not proceed in the application process, but still have to go through the LGR process. It seems to anticipate that some policy might be created to circumvent this, and I think we should put a stronger foot down to say no policy should be able to circumvent it. That's just my feeling, but I apologize. I probably missed a few conversations on this, and this the starting point in terms of what I'm thinking.
Thank you, Edmund. So well, this is a very important point, and I think we discussed it at length. And so here, number five, it deals with this case, right? Where, and let me just go quickly as to what we capture here in past weeks. So yes, I think we agree on that if the apply for TLD script is not supported in the roots on LGR, we're saying that the label should not proceed with the evaluation process until such relevant script is integrated in the roots on LGR. So one part is a thing. Some of us, I think, advocated, and that's why it ended up here in the document. We realized that before an applicant, that may be I don't know if that's the right way to characterize it, but I think some of us thought that it was too harsh of a stand, and we ought to provide some guidance if the policy decides to offer a alternative method, right, for those scripts not supported, because we know that the LGR procedure exists, yes, but the LGR procedure relies on having a generation panel willing to go over the analysis of a script, and such process of forming or seating a generation panel is not that easy, because these are not hired people but volunteers, and depends on what the community's priorities are, et cetera, et cetera. So instead of saying no to an applicant that is willing to, you know, have their presence on the root zone, instead of saying no, let's offer a alternative, but one that will not replace a proper generation panel process, but a stricter criteria as to how this apply for TLD needs to be evaluated. And that's what we discuss in 5.1 onwards. And that's why we are calling for a higher bar than the LGR procedure as to what needs to be considered a proper repertoire, thinking about variants in a more liberal way, and so on and so forth. So are we still in agreement? Do we have consensus that this is the right approach? Or we just put a stick on the ground and say, apply for TLDs that whose script is not supported in the roots from the LGR should not proceed, and that's the end of it. No alternative process whatsoever. See the hand up, Sarna, please. Go ahead.
Thank you. So I actually wanted to just follow up and say that Edmund suggested that we just say that we follow the LGR procedure or something to that effect, which we actually do. But I think one thing to note is that most likely this DNS stability panel is going to be different from integration panel. So there is actually, you know, it doesn't have that history of what really went into root zone LGR procedure, or how root zone LGR procedure was actually implemented as far as different generation panel proposals were concerned. So so there are multiple options here. I think we do not want to obviously replace the existing panel with an integration panel, because integration panel is a separate panel, and you know this work has historically been done by a different panel of experts. So the question is then, how would we, you know, if we say that yes, let's apply the same standards as root zone LGR panel, then we would really need to get IP involved in the process. But unfortunately, the IP is not involved in the process. So how do we address that gap? Thank you. Unless, I guess, sorry, I'm going to continue just one little more. Unless, obviously, we have these sub-items or sub-bullets which are explicit, which are saying that these are the additional consideration guiding the DNS stability panel sort of in line with what IP was doing. So I guess either we involve IP or we involve additional instructions for DNS stability panel to clarify the application. I think perhaps just trying a different panel to interpret the root zone LGR procedure may not actually give us a consistent answer. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Yeah, so I think there are three positions that I think, if you can just put it in the back and please correct me if I'm, because I'm just processing this as we speak. One position is the apply for TLD not supported in the rules media does not move forward. That's one, right? The second one is one, I think what we hear from Edmund today is does not proceed unless we follow the LGR procedure, which is, I mean, when I hear follow the LGR procedure is to form a generation panel. They create, develop the proposal. They submit it to the integration panel, to Sarmat's point, right? The integration panel then reviews and creates the new rules on LGR. And by then, the new apply for TLD can be processed and validated and labels calculated, etc. And then it can move forward with the application process. And the third one is what it's captured here in the document, that basically it's offering an alternate method based on the LGR, well, I don't want to say based on the LGR procedure, but a more strict version of the LGR procedure, if you will, it's not the LGR procedure, because the LGR procedure produces an LGR and other artifacts. And this application review process, which we are suggesting, is more so like a DNS stability panel, which will look at whether the apply for TLD conforms with serving RFCs, conforms with the MSR, conforms with IDNA, the IDNA 2008, which is the RFCs, of course, and conforms with other criteria that we are calling out based on the LGR procedure. I think we have these three different options here. And what I want us to think about is which one we are leaning towards to, or do we present all three options for the community input, and then we can come back and discuss what the community it's leaning towards too, and discuss what's the best for the rules on LGR and the process. Again, looking through the lenses of security and stability of the rules on.
This is Edmund jumping in if I can.
Yes, you can, Edmund. Please go ahead.
Thank you. I know that's a bit noisy here. I'll have to drop off right after this as well. So, given that, I think I would be supportive of putting out all three options and getting some feedback further. But personally, I think after listening to this, I'm still inclined towards putting, you know, the foot, a stake in the ground and say, this is a process, with one caveat, that we highlight the fact that currently there is no real appeal mechanism for the LGR process, and perhaps whatever policy does whatever policy or ICANN board does could look to enhance that. Right, I mean, so even if we ultimately choose to put a foot down, I think what we can probably point out, which is a fair statement, is that Sama said, that the different makeup of certain panels and committees might come up with slightly different recommendations, and
And right now, we don't have any mechanism to appeals, and therefore could not find if there might be a different opinion on certain issues. So I think that's something that might be worth pointing out. But I do support, you know, at this stage, putting it all out to the community to think about. But I would like to add this particular point, though, perhaps so that people understand perhaps one of the reasons why this is talked about as well. So I apologize. I'll need to drop off. I will try to review what was said and further comments on the mailing list.
Thank you, Edmund. Appreciate it. Okay, so I think that's a way forward for now. Let's do the three options for community input, and then we'll come back once we get feedback from the community. And does anyone object to that? Okay, seeing none, hearing none, we'll move forward. So the next item, let me just make a quick note here, sorry. Oh, it's already here, actually. Okay, so the next item to discuss is this one that I think we do not have consensus as to how we're going to talk about the single ID, single character PLD applications. So again, from a Rootson LGR standpoint, there's really no thing other that there's, it's a single TLD, it's a label, it will be processed, nothing, right? Whether a single TLD, a single character, it's allowed for delegation, that's up for policy. Do we still think this is appropriate for us to discuss within the Rootson LGR, the application of the Rootson LGR, or we just leave it for policy? I know this is already been discussed in other areas, such as in the, I think IDN, TLE management framework, as well as the subsequent procedures, PDP. So, I want to ask again whether this is something we need to discuss, because it looks like what we are only doing here is to referring to the ESAC study 052 to look at it, and we're really not offering something new here. So let me ask again, this is appropriate for us to discuss, and if it is, then what do we say? Okay, positions in favor of keeping this in a scope. Shama, please go ahead.
Thank you. So looking at SAC 52, I guess again, the main argument I think they make, or one of the main arguments they make, is that it raises the confusability because the string is shorter and there is lesser context for code points, which means in some ways that it's a string similarity or string confusion issue rather than an LGR and a variant issue. So that's one aspect of it. But in addition, one of the solutions SIAC provides is that they say that if, for example, they should be allowed in Chinese, Chinese should draw a shorter list of code points, possibly, where the shorter list makes sure that there is no string confusability, which means that they are also in, as one of the possible solutions, suggesting that there should be a sort of a mini LGR or smaller LGR which should be used, not the regular LGR which should be used for single character. So that's so in some ways it could potentially impact the LGR design. So that's one thing which I guess we need to take care of. The second thing which I was actually considering was that in some cases there are sequences which can actually eventually be variants of single characters. And there is therefore an indirect mechanism to produce single character, TLDs as well, where you could actually, but I guess that's still a bit beyond our current discussion because that relates to ID invariant TLDs. But in any case, there is a possibility that you could apply for two characters and you still get a one character. Or you can, you know, at least block one character. So in any case, there is this other possibility, you know, that's sort of still in the fringes. I don't think we can probably get into that discussion, but just something which was coming to my mind. Coming back to the first argument, so there is a reason that this could just be a string similarity issue, which means it could be outside the LGR. But if the solution requires a smaller LGR, is that something which should be done by the generation panel, same generation panel, or should it be done by somebody else? And in that sense, then it starts becoming relevant to the LGR, root zone LGR. A question to ask is, one way obviously to address this as well is that we could ask the community. But again, I think even if we are not addressing single level, we should, single label TLD, we should then at least document that we are not addressing it. We consider this out of scope, and the reasons we consider it out of scope, so that the community can respond to that. We should not just leave it out. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarnath. Yes, I'm leaning towards the latter to ask the community or just to simply state that we've discussed this item. I mean, I think in the last public comment, the last presentation that we did in Barcelona, we talked about single character IDNs. I think it's fair that we first to say that we've discussed it. This is the outcome that the group is leaning towards to or finding consensus to. But it will be, I mean, with the eye of removing from the report because it really has no consideration as to the usage of the root zone LGR. It's more of a policy conversation. Regina, your hands up, please go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to support the solution you and Sarmad just presented. That's all what I wanted to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Regina. All right, so that's, I think that's fair. And any other, does anyone object to the way forward? So what we're going to do is to mention that on the draft final report that we discussed the matter of single character TLDs, but we found that there is no, it's not in the scope because the roots on LGR would process any label, even single characters, of course. But it's up to the policy whether they want to, they think it's good to allow delegation of single characters IDN. But as far as the roots on LGR, the rules on LGR will do its work, its job, which is validate, calculate variance, and so on and so forth. Okay, I see the chat room now. Objection from Gaurav. Okay, so that's what we want to do. All right. See, let me just take a quick note here. Okay, let me see if I have and DS, yeah, I think we discussed DNS stability review. Okay. So I think that's what I had thus far. I see comments today, so let's address this. Okay, so I have two comments here on 8, which deals with the changes of rules on LGR and how they may impact existing delegations. So, can Anonymous identify himself, herself, as to who made this comment so that you can speak? Of course, if you are attending today, I don't know. Yeah, I don't think whoever made this comment is attending today. So we'll just address that. Okay, I don't have any other item here to discuss. If there are no other questions, we still need to go through and flesh out all the discussion that we've made. In doing that, I just want to put it out there. So it looks like some of these requirements are very general in the sense that it applies to subsequent policy, but there are other recommendations that are very targeted as to, for example, what we want ICANN organization to do, or IANA, or the generation and integration panel. So would it be a good idea to separate these in sections such that we have general recommendations in a different section, recommendations for generation panel, integration panel, and recommendations for IANA, or recommendations for ICANN staff, ICANN organization, instead of just having a list of just one through whatever number we end up with of recommendations without targeting any specific profile or persona. So SARMAT says yes, good for organization. So here, any objection? Okay, here and now. So we'll do that. I think that will help the reader also direct the attention. Samar, I see your hand up. Please go ahead.
Yes, so I just want to, I guess, comment on the categories. So one, obviously, as you said, is for ICANN.org/INA or PTI. One is perhaps targeted for GP and IP process. And the third one, instead of, I think, calling them general, should we maybe direct them to SOs for policy making, or is that, are you considering something different?
Sorry, I was on mute. Yes, no, I think I was thinking about SOs. Maybe I will put SOs and I was thinking in general because it will apply in across the board, not only SOs, but maybe I can stop and stop. But yeah, I mean, right now we can put like the categories here, and we'll see how that fits at the end of the day, right? One is going to be the SOs, another is ICANN.org, and I guess ICANN.org, PTI, AYANA are in the same bucket, and then generation panels with IP, another bucket, and we'll see how that goes. Yes.
So I guess one of the reasons I was saying that is also that this is eventually being submitted to the back to the ICANN board because that was the that's I think where the request came back from, and if the target recipients of the recommendations are specific, then it just I think makes it easier to sort of direct those recommendations accordingly. Eventually, thank you.
Absolutely, Samuel, thank you. Yes. Let me go through this one. On recommendation one, you made a comment on ASCII labels and the terminology they were using. I think that's a good point. I don't know if it's coincidence, but I was also looking at the RFC and the definitions of LDH, non-reserve and reserve labels, that was, in my mind, was funny that we kind of looking at this maybe in different context, but anyways. So the reason, the terminology, we said we were using the same terminology as the LGR procedure, and I don't mind be accurate in the definitions and maybe call out the LGR procedure as maybe not precise, but yeah, I don't have I think what I'm saying, yes, we can put it so that it's more conforming to the RFCs and not following like the LGR procedure per se. And so, yeah, I'm fine with that, using the precise definition of this label so that we are very precise and do not create confusion. Although sometimes I feel when we are precise, we confuse people more than helping them out. The way we tend to use IDA and ASCII labels in a way that people just get used to that. All right. It's 8 minutes. To the top of the hour, I feel that we discussed what I wanted to discuss today. Again, we'll keep crafting this document, hopefully ready for us to do a final call and put it in front of the public comment soon. Please keep reading it and provide your input. Right now, what we have, it's 1 through let me see here. One through 14 in a rather stable state. So please chime in, put your comments so that we can review next Monday. Again, we're close to have a final draft for public comments, so it's going to be very critical of us to put some time to review this, and we have consensus as to how do we want to go to the final, to go to the public comment period before issuing the final report. So with that, thank you very much, and we'll talk again next week.
Great, thank you.
Thank you, Sana. Thank you all.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you.